A scary version. That's too upbeat.
Of course, you guys missed out on all of the hand gestures that we just did when we were going through that.
But they could tell.
That was very Fosse.
It was all for you, Neil.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
I bet you did. Welcome back, movie fans. Pete here.
And Brian.
And Neil.
And we are three dads working our way through some really weird movies from our youth. And tonight is really no exception because I only vaguely remember seeing this one. Well, and the second one. And I think we're... Are we doing a doubleheader tonight?
We are. This is a very, very special.
Very special.
Very special.
That's right.
It's going to be a late night for all of us.
It's a buy one Hellraiser, get one Hellraiser free.
We're raising Hellraiser squared.
We are raising hell razors.
It is.
So, this movie came out in 1987.
What a year.
87 was a good year for movies. My very formative 13th year.
Well, I was 12. Five. So I didn't see this movie until I was about 12, which was obviously a little bit later on, but...
Yeah, but what do you remember about it, Brian? Was this one of those seminal moments where you saw all of the red lipstick and really whitewash makeup on... Who is that?
Some crazy lady.
Crazy lady. Well,
so with this movie, this was one of my introductions where I went from like... Nightmare on Elm Street, which was lots of
slasher
and blood and terror, to something more cerebral, where it was less jump scares, it was more like, oh, this is a different kind of horror movie.
And yeah, keep saying like cerebral, but I'm also not believing you.
I could be wrong, but I don't. I mean, I read the short story.
Short story.
This is Clive Barker, man. It was called like the.
It was this the something heart.
That's what I'm saying. It was something heart, like the, you know,
the flesh bound heart or something. Something like that.
It's all pretty much.
Go on, Neil.
And he wrote it 1 year before the movie came out, so he was on a hot streak.
Well, he also wrote Candyman.
Oh yeah, well that I knew.
He's a weird dude. So this movie is less about like it's horrifying in like the visuals and the concept of, you know, someone being tortured in hell with these Cenobites and being dragged to hell, you know, creepy stuff. But not necessarily what's going to terrify his 13.
What's weird is like I really do remember the second one where the guy finds the box in the house and like opens the whole portal thing.
Oh, that's pretty much all of them, I think.
Oh, well, someone's like, I found the box. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So, and then there was the other one where that guy opened the box and then it dragged him into
hell. And then there was that other one when someone gave the box as a gift, Christmas present, and they opened it and then they got dragged.
That's because they fed it after midnight.
as you do. No!
Neil,
shared universe.
I remember these. I mean, the covers were very striking, like in the movie rental store.
Oh, yeah, Pinhead.
And Hellraiser 2 was one of the unrated movies you could buy. Ooh, and I remember friends and I were like, ooh, it's unrated. And
you're thinking,
we're like, it can't be unrated for violence, right? It's just going to be like porn.
It's going to be like boobs.
And it was unrated for violence.
It's violence. This is a pretty violent movie.
Yep.
I can't wait. You know how much I love getting scared.
Well, I will say, though, and this might be jumping ahead, but Hellraiser Bloodline, because I can see it there in the corner, was really cool because it gave the backstory of how the box was created, and it's a whole family line, and who was the very first demon that assisted. Like, some really cool mythology building, but I think the first one doesn't do a whole great job of explaining a whole lot, other than demonic box, do not open until doomsday kind of thing.
So it's like a Pandora's box.
You could say that, Pete. You could say it's Pandora's box.
It's a bit of a trap. It's a bit of a thirst trap if you're a demon that can't tell the difference between pain and pleasure.
Oh, so like Tuesday nights.
You know, what I really do love, though, it's like, okay, guys, we need the right souls. What do we do? What do we do? What could we do? What could we do? How about if we put a really, really complex box on Earth and people just can't help themselves? Like people who like to solve puzzles and they open it and then gotcha, drag them to hell. Oh, that's devious. Yeah, let's just do it. How long do we have to wait?
Thousands of years.
Hundreds of years later. Hey, guys, I did it. So for all you people who are big fans of puzzles and Rubik's Cubes and all that, you know.
Don't. This is the warning label on all, like...
This is like the Rubik's Cube version of the Ouija board. Things you don't play with in graveyards.
Fair point. So, we're going to have to answer some questions for this movie, Neil.
Yes, we are.
What would be the first question we want to ask ourselves after we have watched Christy Cotton's family as they move into an ancestral home and terrorized by the resurrected corpse of her uncle, who requires the flesh of innocent victims to stay alive? What would we like to know about this first, my friend?
We're very curious to know whether or not this movie holds up.
We are, aren't we? What else might we want to know?
We're going to then ask ourselves, should this movie be remade? Maybe rebooted?
Repeatedly?
Well, to be fair, this is the first reboot. This is a reboot.
Wait, Hellraiser, this one is a reboot?
No, this is the original.
We're gonna start with this one tonight, and we're going to move on to Hellraiser 2.
Which just came out on Friday.
It's just called Hellraiser.
Just Hellraiser.
Oh, wait, this past Friday.
It's the newest one. It's 35 years later. It's just a new one called Hellraiser. But it's not the same Pinhead.
Yeah.
But it is.
Is it, though?
It's a girl.
Or...
But do they really gender identify?
Yeah, I think that's meant to be... It might be the same. I'd always be...
We'll find out. Honestly, I haven't seen the new one yet, so...
And then what's the third question?
The third question is, should we have our children watch this movie as a reward?
Yes!
The answer is obviously yes.
Obviously. What? You crashed the car? Oh, great job, kid. I'm going to let you watch a movie tonight as reward for that.
Yes.
This might be a weird one as a reward. Punishment, though, but... Well, we'll find out. Well,
why don't we just get to it? Because we have a lot of boxes to open tonight. And then let's go get some ice cream and scotch. I hate these kind of movies, so...
I think you'll be okay. You'll be fine. You made it through Friday the 13th.
Well, Friday the 13th wasn't really... Okay, fair point. Fair point.
I mean, are you playing with a puzzle box right now that you found in some sort of like Middle Eastern flea market from a shady dealer?
Maybe.
Okay, well then you'll either go blind, open up hell, or find a cool prize inside.
Sweet, let's get to it, guys.
Yep, just like Pinhead says, sweet, sweet suffering.
Somehow he doesn't sound as delighted as you.
Fuck. All right, guys. On that note, let's get to this, and we'll see you in just two shakes of a lamb's whistle. I don't know what that means. Do 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 do.
Yeah, no, there's no way to make it scary.
No, not at all.
We still have a whole other movie to watch.
Oh my god.
All right.
Welcome back.
Oh.
We opened the box, and they came.
I am so happy right now. See, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't scary.
It wasn't scary. I forget that 12-year-old me was terrified of this shit.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what practical effects were and how you could take a short story that is, what is it, 7 pages long?
Oh, no, it's long. It's like a 50-page story.
Yeah, under 100, like, but it's a
novella.
Yeah.
It's not a Playboy article. It's real.
There are no pictures.
But there are pictures here. Wow. Welcome back. That was...
a trip.
Yes, that was awesome. I'm going to have some Templeton rye.
Right now?
I am.
Okay. Well, two-sentence synopsis.
Neil?
Two-sentence synopsis, okay. Yeah. Let's see. Uncle Frank,
who's your daddy?
Uncle Frank just wants to be a dad.
In so many ways. In all the ways.
But going to Morocco and buying a weird puzzle box is not the right way.
Oh, is that your synopsis?
That's my synopsis.
Oh my god, that was great.
Let's see, Hellraiser. Julia's lustful memories of a bad ex-boyfriend lead her to make some terrible choices, and in the end, it drags her all the way to hell.
True.
This is not in a world.
Because it happens in our world.
It happens in our world. Hellraiser. If a woman asks you to come back to her place for sexual intercourse and then leads you to the attic, empty room, and locks the door behind her, get out.
Yep. That's a good point. Like, one of the first things we commented on was that Julia, who is leading random strangers to the murder room that looks like a hobo den, in order for her ex-lover Frank to become corporeal.
Reabsorb flesh and blood to escape the Cenobites.
But all these guys, like, well, two things. One, these guys should have seen, like, this looks like a murder room.
There's nothing but a murder room.
I'm going to get rolled here. This is a bad choice. I need to run. And then two, she's not, like, she is so cold, uninterested, and just not into, like, she's not selling it as, like, a Black Widow. She just seems really bored and putting in minimal effort to get these guys up here. I feel like this speaks very poorly of men. Well,
I think that goes to the point of why Kitty figures it out and starts to suspect Christy.
Kitty, Christy,
Corbin. Yes. How she figures out and then follows her or notices that she's leading men in there. And she was already kind of suspecting something was a little wonky anyways.
Well, she had that premonition, that dream of white feathers turning to blood and her dad being blood and feathered. It was weird.
So they were boyfriend, girlfriend, and would make out, but then sleep in separate beds next to each other.
Who's this?
Kitty, Corvin,
Christy and her boyfriend? I don't think they were in separate.
Was that Will Ferrell's son?
Yeah, that guy had some shirts and it is interesting though. Like, while it's happening, those guys just seem desperate and she seems kind of uninterested. But like, if the whole movie is about going down this exploration of pleasure and pain, those guys are taking one little tiny footstep on the road that Uncle Frank has
and Julia has embarked down.
They have gone down the runway, they have taken off, and they have gone full circle.
What was that in the boxing scene when Julia is just like watching? And Larry, it's like, I thought this stuff like grossed you out. And she's like, uh-uh.
Because she's already, like, this is so hardcore. Well,
she said, I've seen worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that is the whole thing is that, you know, this box or whatever was supposed to push the limits. Like, when you've done everything, you feel as though there is nothing left to experience, that you are jaded with all this world has to offer in terms of pleasure. This box was the next and final step. And so clearly, like, and she succumbed to, like, her lust and needs and what Frank was offering her. But again, like, they don't really explain a whole lot of that. You kind of have to infer, like,
There's a lot of the outer storyline that starts to make sense if you reverse engineer it.
Right. Or if you've read the short story, you're like, oh, like, yes, of course.
Because when Pinhead comes on, it's like, we are travelers, explorers. I'm like, oh, these guys are just
demons to or some. Angels.
Yeah. You know, when they describe what they are, like, humanity would have no comprehension of what they are unless you were Sam Raimi or someone.
Yeah. I kind of like that, though. Like, they're very mysterious. It's just kind of a terrifying thing.
And they also, they are not good. They were like, hey, where are you going, lady?
Well, yeah.
You might as well just stay with us. And she's like, no.
You know, they also lust and hunger.
Yeah, they thank you. They lust and hunger. That's a good way of putting it. That you got that from the book, didn't you?
No. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's the themes of pain, lust, and hunger.
So I am definitely a Hellraiser newbie because I've only seen the first two and it's been like 30, 40 years.
Well, I guess that's a great question is, does this hold up? Like, was this...
I actually think it's better now to me than it was when I watched it as a kid because I remember being a 12-year-old and just terrified of it.
Well, the special effects are terrifying. Those definitely held up. Like, that's wild and gross what we watched.
Well, I don't know if they held up as, you know, it was more campy to me. I wasn't
They held up as entertainment, certainly.
They held up as entertainment and suspension of disbelief and all of that. But clearly could use an update with it. Like, it could be really super scary if done with modern, practical, and CGI.
Well, it's still pretty impressive what they did. But yeah, like, you know, some of it is a little rubbery.
It's a thumbs up for me. Like, it holds up. I think it's better than the first time around.
I think it's interesting that you are watching season 4 of Stranger Things now. I think this is perfectly timed to go with that.
Yes. I completely, even down to the stained glass windows.
And Vecna looks a lot like Frank. You know, that sort of stripped of skin.
Testicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can see how this stuff comes around. And I mean, this movie has inspired a lot of people. A lot of TV shows and movies.
Well, I was admiring the practical, like the suit that Frank was wearing, the blood suit that he was wearing.
Yeah, the goopy suit.
The goopy droop. Oh, man, just like things are...
stuff was falling off.
Ectoplasm like everywhere.
He
got slimed.
He got slimed repeatedly, and he loved it.
Yeah.
It was part of his pleasure.
I mean, he could start feeling again.
I think one of the reasons the beginning seemed odd is partly is what we were saying. It's a short story, and I think there wasn't quite enough material to fill it in, but it jumps around from the past to sort of the present and past.
To the president.
I think the time jumps are a little disorienting in the beginning.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They don't really flesh out like what
they did. Flesh out.
Can't help it sometimes, but now you made me lose my train of thought.
Well, but
the storyline itself is like there's not a lot of exposition. There's zero explanation,
which is the opposite of what we normally get for these movies. Usually, there's someone who comes in and just dumps like a half hour of, and then
or at least like a 3-paragraph reel at the front.
Yeah,
just to kind of set the stage.
Right, which is great. I would rather have it be in this direction.
Right, but what they were trying to put together, like, you go into this like knowing that you're going to be scared, there's going to be something with bloody stuff, and they go right off into like Frank gets ripped apart within, like, they jumped in what, the first
couple of minutes,
90 seconds maybe.
Well, and at no point, well, and that's
there's a stack of money. He takes the box.
Oh, and the dirtiest fingernails.
With the worst fingernails. Figures out how to open a box. He'd been trying for years.
Yeah.
And immediately, the hooks... what did you describe?
It's almost so grotesque, it's hard to tell what's happening.
Yeah.
Well,
the infinite amount of...
Yeah, chains, unlimited hooks.
Unlimited hooks.
I almost wish there was a director's cut, because although we say like this movie spends 94 minutes not really doing a whole lot story-wise, but I would love... at some point, like, Julia should ask Frank, like, what happened to you? I found this... He says, like, I found, you know, there was this box, and it opens... It's a gateway. It brings you to, you know, a place where pain and pleasure blend, you know, kind of, but he never really says, this happened to me. He talks a bit about how, like, he escaped hell, and they're looking for him, but...
He's saying this is, like, you know, a face being put back together.
Yeah, it's like, it's
I just grew a rib today.
They kind of throw it in, but there's so much, like, visceral stuff happening that it distracts you from being able to actually understand the story, and there isn't a lot of character development on any real part.
I don't know. I actually think Frank develops as he's being put back together, his, I don't know, underhandedness, his evilness, his lust and hunger.
But that's like he's the bad guy, like the boogeyman of this whole movie. But we don't really learn much about Christy. We don't. Julia's like reasoning for doing it is sort of inferred that she's lusting after Frank. That
I don't think they did a little bit more inferred. That was pretty explicit.
But they don't. We don't really see like her having to come to terms with it, or, you know, why she lusts after Frank so much, or how she really feels. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I would have liked a little bit more story, a little bit more character. But again, still held up. I still was fully entertained and grossed out, and I love the effects. And Cenobites are creepy.
Super creepy. And I think the other reason I can still enjoy it is because even though they didn't flesh it out, you can tell the story is there.
Yeah.
They just didn't show us. You know, some things like... Maybe there are big plot holes, or that you can tell they didn't quite know how to wrap it up. This clearly, they knew where they were going. They knew how to wrap it up. They just didn't show us everything.
Yeah. Which, that, budget concerns.
It could have been budget. It could have been time.
Only there was a way that we could see the story retold.
If there was only more Hellraiser. Money. Yeah. Mm.
Got it. Would you ever want to reboot this?
I think the answer is yes.
Well, I will say, and I did say this before, like Bloodlines, like the Hellraiser Bloodlines, which shows like how the box was created, that, you know, tells a lot more backstory about everything, was a really nice addition. So
are
nice
we going to see the same exact story right now?
I don't know. I know nothing
Frank,
other than
Larry,
New
Julia,
Pinhead.
Christy.
No. I
Will
don't think
Ferrell's
so.
Son.
No, I do not think
I
so.
I think it's... So it's going to be...
I haven't seen it, but I don't believe it's...
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's not a remake.
I don't know anything. It's a reboot. I think this is a strict reboot we're heading into.
Yeah. And there's also a tremendous amount of lore in the Hellraiser universe that they don't even get into almost at all in this first movie.
Did you ever read the comic books?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I read a couple of the comic books. Things get weird.
This is why you guys are so
special to me. There's
a
massive amount of lore.
Oh, there was one part where,
I don't
like,
know any of the lore. Like, I want to see part two now.
There's
next
one
week.
Part where, like, Pinhead's traveling and he meets, like, the constructor. It was, like, this weird...
The French guy back in the day?
No. Like, in the comic, like, this was... There was a big machine.
Sir Topham
Hatt.
And
there was, like, this cherubic... character who was, you know, thousands and thousands of years old, but in order to get the machine to work right, need to be lubricated. So he threw himself into the machine to have his blood and guts lubricate the gears, and it was really weird.
Is Bloodlines the one where they have a giant machine out, or a giant, basically, like, lament configuration out in space?
Yes. Yeah. It starts out in space, which is always a... This is the only horror movie that goes to space and it works. Anytime a horror movie happens in space... It's terrible.
Jason, what, you didn't like Event Horizon?
No. Event Horizon was amazing. I mean, when like a franchise goes to space, Leprechaun in space.
Jason.
It's when they jump the shark.
Yeah. Oh, it's when it's like, yeah, no, this is terrible.
Jump the shark.
Yeah.
This is But that worked really well. Like, you get the how like Lamont or Lachard or whatever. Yeah. Like the French guy toy maker who makes the box.
Yeah.
So that's a cool one, but. I think that there's a lot to go here with the story. I think there's lots to see. I'm excited to watch this reboot.
I'd like to quickly hit question three before we jump into the reboot.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is a...
I would first have, like, one of my kids, if they're going to watch it, be like, you guys, this is the short story. It's only, like, 50 or 60 pages. Read the short story. If you liked the short story, then we'll watch the movie. If the short story, if you couldn't even get through that or weren't interested, the movie's not going to really do you much good.
Would the sex scenes bother you at all?
Oh, they were not...
They weren't too bad.
I mean, it's not like you're watching a Skinamax. It's the violence again.
I don't know what would freak them out the most. Probably just Frank in the attic.
No, the monster chasing in the hallway in the hospital.
Yeah.
That one's probably going to be... But I'm actually two thumbs up. I'm like, yeah, maybe not this year, maybe not next year. But maybe by the time the youngest is 10.
Maybe when they're watching Stranger Things season 4.
12, maybe.
12, 13 maybe. Would be really good because
yeah.
I think they could appreciate it. But again, I would have them, I'd be like, read the short story because the short story is pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
And then it makes more sense to fill in the little gaps.
That's a good barrier to entry, reading.
Reading. Well, that's how I'd also feel about Candyman. I love the Candyman short story. And I would say the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, then. So, should we pause again?
And time travel 35 years to the future and watch Hellraiser.
Let's watch a new movie.
On Hulu.
And see what happens and give our take on this reboot, which is, a little unusual for us. So, I hope our listeners are excited.
We have no idea what we're doing.
I know. This could be a terrible movie. This could be fantastic.
I promise nothing.
Yeah, we got nothing other than it's a new Pinhead.
All right, we'll see you guys in 30 seconds. Do 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 do. Okay, maybe like 5 seconds.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much going to be outro, and then we're back for like bonus round.
We know how this works.
I know. Bonus content.
Bonus room.
The sixth configuration.
Leviathan.
It's Lamont.
Lament, not Lamont. Lament.
Lament.
Love. Lazarus.
Liminal. Lazarus. Leviathan.
Luscious.
It's late.
It's late. It's super late. We have run the gauntlet.
Yeah, that was that was pretty cool, actually. I enjoyed most of it.
100%. I think we all agree that there were some parts that's like, okay, pulling the taffy, let's...
It was 2 hours, so that was a bit long in the tooth. So, like, I 100% enjoyed 79% of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great Cenobites, cool effects.
Yeah. Betrayal.
Uh-huh. And twists.
And twists and turns. No spoilers, though. I don't really know how to talk about it without...
Without spoiling? Well, I guess...
Without spoilers,
yeah. I really, like, in terms of... So, as a reboot, I really liked... This was a much tighter story.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot more storyline to follow along than the original.
Definitely. They also did a pretty good job of tearing down some tropes and stereotypes. Like, there were still, like, definitely enough in there, but they tried at least to either flip them on its head... you know, your damsel in distress wasn't damsel in distress. It was, you know, they're switching around a little bit of gender, switching around a little bit of sexualization. I like that the lead character wasn't overly sexualized at all. You said it best, Neil.
Like I think she was the least sexualized.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But,
I just found, like, I thought that what I was enjoying more was just seeing, like, well, where's this story going? Like, what's at the end? Like, what's the prize at the end of this maze?
I knew exactly where I was going from the beginning. The Berkshires.
Yeah. It's really cool seeing that one back-to-back with the first one, because it really is a reboot. I don't think you would need to know anything about the Hellraiser universe to watch that movie. There were a few... You know, they gave a little bit of fan service.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the lines.
Yep.
But it was a very different movie at the same time. Most of the people caught up in this were fairly innocent, really. Whereas the first one, the only innocent person was the daughter, really. Yeah,
definitely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was...
Well, there was definitely a little bit of other...
Yeah, the dad in the first one was naive and kind of derpy about what was going on.
He was innocent.
But this one, I really liked... I thought there were some good metaphors. Like, this is one of those movies where I feel like I'm going to think about this movie and find parallels and meaning. And it was just an interesting journey. Like, I had a lot of fun.
I don't know what else. I don't really know anything about the Hellraiser universe to really kind of, like, tie it together. I just have my observations of, like, one... Like you said, you know, jumping right into the second one. And the parallels were right there. They hit some of the same notes. There was something dragging it down the whole time.
I think it just needed some editing. There was a lot of moments where they just sort of weren't... Nothing was really getting done. Nothing was moving the plot forward. We were just watching people walk around. We were watching people not really saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could ease, like, just watching it, there's easily 10, 15 minutes of, you know, oh, I'm exploring, but I'm looking here, I'm there, what does it mean?
I'm in a dark hallway.
Yeah, there, you know, just some little, like, not not big, like, let's just remove this whole scene, but, like, just shave that down, shave this down, shave that down.
Yeah, you can do a lot with... taking away 2 or 3 second cuts on a bunch of stuff in there. But
I would like to have seen more of the Cenobites, honestly. I think they were really cool, and I almost wish we would have had a better look at some more of them.
Oh, the makeup was neat. Yeah, these are some cool Cenobites.
Question for you. In the Hellraiser universe, do the Cenobites have their own motives? Do they have conversations amongst themselves? Do they go to, like, Cenobite McDonald's when they're not working? You know...
Have Cenobite smoke breaks?
Yeah, like, do they have personalities and, like, antagonize each other any of the other movies?
I think from what I can tell from the movies and the book, like, and they even talk about it here, like, it's more like these are monks with, like, a lead priest. Like, you know how...
I gotcha.
You know, at a convent, they're always praying. There's Vespers and, like, there's all... Like,
they're trying to reach Nirvana.
Right. This is, for them, it's all... They're all part of this... religion, and so I don't know, maybe they converse, but I think a lot of it is spent in supplication and worship.
It does make sense that it's like this constant drive to attain the next level of experience. Like, they are the experiences they offer. You know, it's like there's no such thing as a rest or a step back. They always have to go forward and do, like, the next most awful thing.
Yeah, and Pinhead is the Hell Priest. I mean, it's kind of like Baby Yoda. That's not really his name. He's the Hell Priest. So there's very much, it's a hierarchical thing. It seemed like there was a difference between this Pinhead and Doug Bradley's. Doug Bradley seemed more like his pursuit of pleasure, almost. Whereas this one, you were very much making deal, like bad deals. And she almost took pleasure in seeing you think you knew what you were doing, and then kind of like, ha-ha, I outsmarted you.
Well, but at the same time...
And the only way to outsmart them is to...
No. Well, that's not... But the way she even expired, like, there's no going back. You can only go forward. So she's exalting the fact that you are now going to experience this. Like, when, you know...
No people, spoilers!
I know, no spoilers, but that's hard. That's what she is like. Yes, like, she knows that someone isn't getting what they expect, but that it's all part of their transcendence. They're on this journey. To them, like, they're enlightened. Like, you are so lucky.
Yeah.
Even if lucky to them is unlucky to the rest of everybody.
Receiving their gifts.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it's very carefully chosen words, which was interesting about that, to receive our gifts. So what are we watching next week?
Good question. So this would be...
We're going to go scary again, I'm assuming.
I could make a good suggestion.
Go for
it. Going with, this was a favorite of mine. I had the VHS tape. I love it for the mythos. I love it for the morality of it. But Pumpkinhead. Does anybody know Pumpkinhead?
No, I don't. I've never seen it.
What, Neil?
I have seen Pumpkinhead.
Okay, Lance Henriksen.
Yep.
So you know it's good.
I was going to suggest Dreamscape. It's an early Dennis Quaid movie.
I think it's definitely
got some scare factor to it. It's not gonna be Battle Beyond the Stars, I promise you.
Well, I could go with Dreamscape.
Promise you.
Dreamscape could be because you know, we got this one on you, Pete, so I would say Dreamscape. The reason is because I kind of feel like I remember my parents watching this, and I caught like snippets of it, like when I was getting out of bed to get water or something like that, and so I haven't seen it, but yet there's this familiarity.
This is one of the movies I remember distinctly going to, in third grade, going to a friend's house for a sleepover birthday party. He rented the VHS that night, and this was the movie that they rented, and we were up all night terrified.
All right, well, I'm sold. Let's see Dreamscape.
Now, remember, I was like 9 when I saw this.
Hey, I still get terrified from like the cheesy movie House that terrified me as a kid. So
there you go. Perfect.
Yeah, all right, let's do Dreamscape.
All right, any parting words?
No, this is the first doubleheader, but I feel like we climbed the mountain and we did it.
I want to climb in bed now.
Yeah. Now we're tired.
All right, guys. Send us an email at dadsmovienight@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook. Short and sweet tonight. Not really. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
No more puzzles.
No more puzzles. Fuck. I'm throwing out all my Rubik's Cubes.